I've been working with Jude for about 4 weeks, so a lot less than everybody else. We came into the church just before lockdown, just before all the COVID stuff, and so we weren't in church. So I can't really say a lot about Jude in that particular way. But on our first day together, Jude's comment on day one, we were just talking a little bit, settling in, and I did ask her what she was going to do, and she has assured me over and over and over again, she's got no idea what the future holds. So if you're sort of wondering why she's not telling you, that's the truth. She doesn't know what she's going to do, but apart from having a rest and a bit of a holiday to start with. But she said to me, she said, "Greg, I just want to finish well." And I can assure everybody here that she has finished as well as anybody could have and would have. So be assured of that. She hasn't spent the last 4 weeks just winding down and taking it easy. She spent the last 4 weeks helping me to settle in. She's filled me in on who's who and what's what, and she's given me so much information about the church that my brain is about to explode. And as Jude leaves, I have some disappointment about that, because after 4 weeks, I'm sort of a bit disappointed that we didn't get to work together longer, Jude. Now, I'm not quite sure what you think about that. That might be entirely different, but that's how I feel towards you anyway. So we've heard from people who've known Jude during her time at our church, and what they think about her involvement and her ministry and who she's been in the life of our church and in the community. Jude, today I want to focus on what Jesus thinks. I just want to read from Matthew 25, verses 14 to 27. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they'd used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Now that goes on, but I don't want to read the bit that comes next, because that's not where we are as we think about that. You know the story as well as I do. The master comes along, he says to his servants, "I'm going away." And he said, "I want you to run the show." And he distributes his wealth according to what he thinks that each servant can handle. And I think that's really, really important to understand that. He distributes his wealth according to what he thinks each servant can handle. And when he comes back, he asks each servant to give an account for what he's done with what the master gave him. In verse 14, it says, "This is what the kingdom of heaven is like." He starts off that passage before he goes into the story. He says, "This is what the kingdom of heaven is like." Now, the kingdom of heaven is not heaven. The kingdom is where a king reigns. The kingdom of heaven, then, is where the king of heaven reigns. And the king of heaven reigns over every person who's given their life to the Lord. As Christians, we live in this world. We live in Gisborne and the surrounding townships. We live here, but at the same time, as Christians, we live in the kingdom of God. We live in two places at once. And the church is the visible reality of the kingdom of heaven. If you want to think about where does God reign, well, look at the church, because that's where God reigns. And the king, Jesus, he's gone away for a bit. He gives his servants responsibility to run the show. And he gives the servants, more importantly, the resources to do so. And just as he gave the servants in the story, he gave them money, For every Christian, every person who lives in the kingdom of heaven, every person who's given their life to Jesus, he gives every Christian their personality, their skills, their passions, their interests, their spiritual gifts to invest in the kingdom of God. It's the same as the money that he gave those people. Who he's made us to be, is what he has given every person to invest for the kingdom of God. And not only those things, he also gives the Holy Spirit as an advisor, as a motivator, and the power of the Holy Spirit's at our disposal to make it all happen. Unfortunately, Jesus' reign in our lives can be limited by our level of willingness to cooperate with him. One of the servants in the story, he was afraid. He didn't even bother to try to invest the money that he was given. And maybe as you sit here this morning, as you think through that little story just a little bit, maybe it's an opportunity to reevaluate your level of cooperation with Jesus. But I'm not focusing on that today, because we are farewelling and celebrating a servant who took what Jesus had given her and invested it for the kingdom of God. In the story, the master gave the amount of responsibility according to what he thought the servant could handle. He gave the first servant 5 portions of his wealth because he thought that he or she could handle it. He gave the next servant 2 portions of his wealth because he thought that he or she could handle it. And that's all Jesus asks of us. That's all he asks of any of us. Just use what he's given you for the benefit of the kingdom of heaven. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. Oh, but I'm shy. All that means is that Jesus doesn't expect you to be an extrovert. If you are shy, and there are many shy people in this building today, if you are shy, Jesus doesn't expect you to be any different than who he's made you. What he does expect of you, though, is that you invest for Jesus in shy people appropriate places. If you're shy, go to the places where you feel comfortable. Be the person that he's made you to be. Do the things that he wants you to do. Oh, but I'm not highly educated. You know, what can I invest for the kingdom of God? Well, all that means is that Jesus doesn't expect you to run a televised debate with the head of the atheist society. So there's a multitude of things that you can do that don't require a Mensa level intelligence. Only 2% of the world fit into Mensa. The rest of us are just ordinary people. That God has given us who we are, the power of the Holy Spirit, to invest for his kingdom. Be yourself and be willing to invest your life for the kingdom of heaven. And in my short time of knowing Jude and then working with her, that is exactly what she's done. She's invested what God has given her for the kingdom of heaven. We've heard that from a few people already. Pastoral ministry is an interesting thing. You can pour yourself into your responsibilities and often you don't get to see the result. It's easy to be in ministry and work hard and not see any results for the hard work. And the reality is the Bible teaches us that somebody sows, somebody else waters, somebody else gets the harvest. And in ministry, we are always sowers. And often we don't get to see the end result. But sometimes you do. A couple of years ago, I had an email from a fellow who was in my church in Hobart. He started attending church. He'd probably just started uni, maybe a couple of years into it. He left the church that he was born into. He just wanted to sort of break free from all that family stuff. He just wanted to be himself. No expectations. He comes into our church. He just wanted to find his own spiritual feet. And I'd have to say that at the time, for the first little while, I wasn't sure where his faith was. I wasn't sure whether he was going to stick with our church. And I wasn't sure where he was with Jesus. And shortly after joining the church, within a few months, he brought along a Chinese girl that he'd met at uni. She spoke very little English. And during church, I would say something. I'd sort of look up, and you know, you're sort of aware of what's going on in the church when you're up here. And he'd be talking to his Chinese girlfriend. She doesn't speak very good English. He's animatedly trying to explain what I'm talking about. It was quite interesting to see. But over time, I took his girlfriend through a Christianity Explained class to explain the gospel. And she gave her life to Jesus. I had the privilege of baptizing her. I conducted their wedding. And I think I conducted the dedication of their first child too, I think. And then I left the church and moved across to Victoria. And 20 years later, I get this email from the couple saying, "Hey, we're coming to Melbourne. Would you like to catch up for dinner?" Yeah, wow, fantastic. Yeah, here's a blast from the past. Yeah, 20 years ago. Fantastic, let's catch up. So we did. We had a lovely dinner with them. We were reminiscing about our time together down in Hobart. And we're talking about the in-between 20 years of our lives. And I was absolutely delighted at how far they had come in their faith. I had those things right at the beginning where I had the privilege of being involved in some things in their life. But over those 20 years, I'd lost touch, I'd moved on. And it was an absolute delight to listen to their love for Jesus, their commitment to their church, their delight in the Word of God, and their investment back into the lives of others, what they were doing in their ministries, just as lay people. And I sat there thinking, let me tell you this, I sat there thinking, these people have gone way past me. And it was an absolute joy in my heart to think that. I was so excited, it almost brought me to tears as I heard story after story. And they're just telling me about who they are and what they're doing and what's going on. There was no show about it all. It was just catching up. And as I sat at that table, I had to stop myself from bursting into tears. I was just filled with so much joy. And verse 23, the master says to the servants in that story, he says, "Let's celebrate together." And that is exactly how I felt with this couple, just thinking about their lives and how far they'd come. And it was just like me and Jesus sitting at the table, just filled with the joy of seeing the result of something that I'd sowed into their lives so, so, so long ago. A couple of shaky kids who'd become leaders in their church and in the various communities that they mixed in. Jude, I really hope that somewhere down the track you get to see the results of what you've done here. As I said, a lot of it, you just don't see the results. I really hope, that would be my prayer, that sometime, somewhere, somehow, somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, "Hey Jude, let me tell you." But I can't promise that. But what I do promise is that you will get to see that in eternity. When you get to eternity, we hope it's later than sooner, but when you get there, I can guarantee, because I've worked with you a little bit, I've seen you at work here in the life of the church, we've heard some people who know you better than I do, I can guarantee that there are going to be people who are going to tap you on the shoulder in heaven, and they're going to say, "Let's have a coffee together," and they're going to say, "Jude, I want to tell you how your investment in my life got me to this point in my eternity." That is going to happen. Matthew 25:21. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's celebrate together." And Jude, well done, good and faithful servant. In your time, you've invested well for the kingdom of heaven. You've worked long and hard, and you've used what God has given you. And as you finish up, you have every reason to be proud about the way that you've invested into the lives of people in this church and the wider community. Now, pride is a bit of a dirty word in the church. We're not allowed to be proud about things, are we? Well, of course we are. We're not talking about look at me pride. We're talking about thank you, Jesus, for the privilege of using me in your work type of pride. And you can leave here with that sort of pride in your heart. And one day when you step into eternity, when the results of your investment are revealed to you, you and Jesus, face to face, will celebrate in a way that you can't even imagine. I suspect there'll be dancing involved. So on behalf of us all, those who've known you a short time, those who've known you a long time, well done, good and faithful servant. And if I can be so bold, on behalf of Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to invite the elders to come up. We've got some presentations to make to Jude. I'm going to ask Jude to come up as well.
Well, what more can we say? We've heard from a number of our church folk this morning, and Greg, you've summed that up really well. I've worked with Jude for a couple of years now on the oversight, and it's been an absolute pleasure working with you. I love the infectious laugh that Jude gives us all. And we've had some interesting discussions in the oversight, lots of laughs, lots of challenging conversations, even if some of those were about hot cross buns. But Jude, I just wanted to iterate what some have said this morning, and including Greg, you stepped up into the acting ministry team leader role in probably what was one of the most difficult times for this church as we came out of COVID, when our church family had the option to stay at home in the comfort of their homes of a Sunday morning. You have led this church through that time to have a congregation of 80 plus people week in, week out, and you have helped to lead that. You should feel really proud, and for that we thank you. We've got some gifts for you. One of those is a rose, which is called the Spirit of Peace. And as you go from here, we know that you will go with a spirit of peace into what you do next. And to Mark and Grace, Josh, Beth and Thomas, we thank you too. We thank you for your support for Jude as she's travelled this journey with us all. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Mark. We've also got a voucher for you here for a special treat, perhaps for you and Mark, and another gift there, Jude. There is a large card which is out the back, is that right, Mark?
Near at the giving area.
At the giving station. So if you haven't signed the card, please take a moment to sign it over lunchtime.
Okay, I think it's appropriate that we pray for Jude. Jude, can you step down here? Just a little bit of room. If there are any people or many people who would like to come and gather around, then feel free to do that. Let's make it quick. We're going to lay hands on her. We thank you for just her selfless service. We thank you for the lives that she's touched along the way. And maybe there are a few people here today just need to let Jude know exactly what that meant before she leaves today. Lord, we thank you that you have equipped her just to be the person that she is. You equipped her to serve the church in the various ways that that she has, and she's done that so well. Lord, we just want to say that Jude's going to be missed. There is going to be a hole in our church. Lord, we know that she feels that time is up. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to lead her into that and then through that to whatever her future holds. Lord, we have the greatest confidence that you know exactly what that is even today. Jude doesn't know that today. So Lord, might this be a bit of an adventure as she seeks you to find out what it is that you want her to be. And what place in life that you want her. But Lord, we just pray that that you would enable her to be an even better mum than she is already. She would be an even better wife than she is already. She would be an even better Christian than she is already, as she continues to surrender her life to you and her future to you. So Lord, we pray for just heaps of blessings on Jude and the family. As they take a break, it'll be enormously refreshing, and maybe even just a bit of a catch-up as well, as they reconnect without the responsibilities of ministry over their head. And Lord, I pray that you would lead Jude into your future. She would know what it is, and she would grab it with both hands. And pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.